Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:17 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is June 22nd, and it was an awfully busy day in interest rates today. And then we also had quite a bit of weakness in China, and then that had knock-on effects for just about all of the China-related markets. And then on top of that, what is particularly interesting is that 10-year yields are moving higher in the USA, and then that has not had any effect whatsoever on the outlook for the Nasdaq, which bounced back today by 1%. Meanwhile, it was a weak day in oil, a weak day in gold, and then commodities generally have been, there isn't a lot of commonality there. But let's just start off and think about what's going on here with the UK. The 2-year gilt yield is up to over 5%, and the Bank of England raised rates today by 50 basis points. Now, this smells of panic, and this isn't the first time the Bank of England has had to panic in the last year. They've also had to panic when yields spiked from about 1.75% to almost 5% during or immediately after Liz Truss's budget. And in normal circumstances, the kind of pro-growth budget that she had suggested would have passed muster. But unfortunately, during an inflationary period where investors are basically on tenterhooks, it didn't pass muster. And yields spiked higher. Basically, it was the return of the bond vigilantes, and that has forced the UK government into a pickle. So they're not able to stimulate, and they're not really in a position to offer a lot of assistance to mortgage holders either. And it is problematic because the Bank of England raising rates aggressively is going to bump right up against the imminent roll-off of a large number of fixes. The stamp duty holiday was in August of 2021, and with most people taking a 2-year fix, well, they're going to be presented now with the highest borrowing rates in years. So obviously, this is going to be problematic, and it's one of the things that's going to siphon money out of the pocketbooks of consumers, and that's not something that most people are going to stand for. It's going to push up wages. People aren't going to take that lying down. So when you have the governor of the Bank of England coming out and saying, well, if we want to get inflation under control, we're going to have to get people to stop asking for more money, and we're going to have to get companies to stop trying to protect their margins. And you might as well ask the sun not to shine or the wind not to blow in an environment where inflation is this high and there are very real unavoidable jumps in living costs that are coming down the pike. And then I thought it was really interesting that I saw an article today that people talking about that it was the release of Nintendo's Breath of the Wild was the contributing factor to the jump in inflation in the UK. This is akin to saying that it's leaves on the tracks are one of the reasons for the behind trains not being able to make it on time to their destination. Unfortunately, what the problem that the Bank of England is faced with is that there aren't enough people working. A lot of those people don't have the incentive to work, and those are not factors that they have very clear control over. So it does look likely they're going to have to continue to raise interest rates. Now, it's a panicky environment. It's more than likely that if they were to simply to just hold rates where they are right now and just let them do their work, that it would have the desired effect. But they're panicking. And it's when central banks panic, that's usually when you then can expect something untoward to happen. So when we then look at what happened today with the pound, well, when interest rates go up by 50 basis points in a surprise manner, you would anticipate that that would enhance the argument that we're going to have a wider interest differential, so the currency should rise. But that did not happen. In fact, it reversed an earlier advance and closed in negative territory. Now, if we zoom out and look at the longer term chart, it is overbought and it is right in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So it's certainly not beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some pause and consolidation here. But Norway also raised rates by 50 basis points today. The Norwegian crown has been quite weak. That is despite the fact that oil prices haven't really moved a lot, but because of natural gas outages, and that has weighed on the currency. Now, it was in positive territory, and it is coming back down now to test the region of the 200-day moving average, but it didn't hold the strength. So this is also, I think, an indication that investors are not really convinced that raising interest rates is in the best interests of some of these countries. And then I think it is worth just putting up the oil chart right now because it's down $3. So we can definitely say that the range is narrowing. So back in March, the range was more like 70 to about $85. And since May, the range is more like 71 to about $78. And that narrowing of breadth, it tells us that supply and demand are coming back into balance, that the arguments are becoming progressively more vociferous and powerful arguments both for and against a breakout. My gut feeling remains that when we do get a breakout, it's going to be on the downside. But and I think that is because it is more likely than not that there's going to be a demand shortfall, that the efforts of OPEC Plus to restrict supply have certainly helped to sustain prices, but that with interest rates jumping higher like this, then it's inevitable that demand is going to get hit. Now, let's also just pay attention to what's been happening in China. The H share index continues to pull back from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it was down another couple of percent in here today. Now, these aren't especially dynamic moves. Even though it's moving a couple of percent at a time, it's not like this isn't the that it hasn't done this kind of thing before. But the sequence of lower rally highs remains intact. And then let's also just pay attention to what's going on with the banking sector, which is also weak and has been weak for most of the month and is coming back down to test the lower side of its range as well. The banking sector had been held out as one of the potential beneficiaries of stimulus. Well, that is just not happening right now. So, with China refusing so far to stimulate, and I think when they do eventually concede that stimulus is necessary and that they will need to do more to stabilize the domestic economy, that will act as a catalyst. But I think until that happens, investors are willing to pull their money out and in order to potentially force the issue. Now, I thought what's happening in Australia is also worthy of mention. So, Australia has much the same issue with short-term fixes rolling off as the UK does, but the market has been better sustained by the. If we just simply look at the fact that the exports that Australia rely on go to China. China's demand has been one of the stabilizing factors in the Australian economy. But there's a large number of loans are going to roll off, and then the percent change in scheduled loan payments is going to ramp higher. So Obviously, then that is something that could contribute to additional weakness in the Australian market. And then I think we just have to continually look at the performance of the currency as a barometer for how investors are viewing the potential. And having rallied up to push through the 68 cent level last week, it is now starting to come back down. We're coming back into an area of potential support in the region of the 200-day moving average, but if it's going to bounce, it would really want to start getting about it. And the sequence of lower rally highs remains intact, and it has not yet pushed up through the 1,000-day moving average. Now, then let's just go back and look at what's happening with the FTSE 250, and it has rolled over. Definitely pulling back from the region of the 200-day moving average in a very dynamic manner. Now, I think it's also worth just looking at the valuation where you have a PE of about 12, which is certainly not challenging. But the pressure that's being put on the index is more reflective of the expectation that earnings are going to have some trouble. So that's certainly weighing on the performance of the index right now. Now let's then just spread the net a little wider, look at Brazil, and that was down a couple of percent in here today as well, but it's at the upper side of its range. And if we look at an ETF like our US dollar ETF, we get a better idea of how it's performing on a currency adjusted basis. So we do have the short term overbought condition. Now, there are droughts underway in Mexico and in Panama. So that's going to impact agricultural production. It's going to also impact beer production. It's already impacting the draft of ships that can pass through the Panama Canal. The Mexico ETF is short-term overbought, and it does look likely that it's going to at least unwind that short-term overbought condition. I maintain that Mexico is likely to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of China plus one, or reshoring, or nearshoring, or friendshoring. There are significant plans to build manufacturing capacity, but that's going to take time. And the Mexican peso is really quite overbought in the short term. So it is likely that we'll get at least some pause of consolidation. And even then, the sequence of lower rally highs for the dollar remains intact, and it would require a really substantial rally by the dollar to break that trend overall. Now, the dollar index did steady somewhat in here today, but the sequence of lower rally highs is still intact, and it has not yet succeeded in sustaining a move up through the 200-day moving average. Now, when we then think about India, Narendra Modi is in Washington, D.C. today. He led a yoga workout on the lawn in front of the United Nations this morning, so he's certainly enjoying himself. The Nifty index was in negative territory today. But what's going on between the USA and India is a very good example of how India is attempting to plot a middle ground through the increasing stresses that are going on between the global superpowers. They're still buying oil from Russia, but they're now going to also develop plane engines with the USA. And all of the, or I think it's the vast majority of Indian journalists have been kicked out of China, but they are still doing business there. And Chinese businesses are building factories in India, so there is so that's I think that we've got lots of examples of where India is managing stresses with its trading partners, but definitely doing it to its advantage. But the question, of course, is how long will they be able to continue to do that for? Well, as long as they don't start pushing their own interests. And I think that's certainly something that will probably be one of the deciding factors in how successful they are. But The Nifty index is a little overbought in the short term. And the one thing I think is worth reminding ourselves is that India is always best bought following a reaction. Now let's zoom in and look at the NASDAQ. So the NASDAQ was up 1% in here today. It's still overbought in the short term, but it is still holding the very short-term sequence of ranges, one above the last. It bounced today exactly where it needed to. It's scraping. It was, I guess, at the, if it was right at the top of the range today, it would have been an upside Q reversal. It didn't quite meet those criteria, but it's a good size rebound following 3 days on the downside. And Nvidia is continuing to lead on the upside. But we did have a positive performance from companies like Salesforce and Google as well. And then I think when we look at what Microsoft are trying to do with artificial intelligence, it's a big question how much additional value it's going to confer on the company. And will they be able to increase their subscription revenue as a result of it? There's a court case wending its way against Amazon and the difficulty in canceling a Prime membership, and that might weigh on other subscription business model companies like Microsoft. And the share was in very mild negative territory today, or in after hours, I should say, but hasn't rallied as much as the NASDAQ has. But it is still holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. I do think that this is a bubbly environment. And when we look at valuations, and I can certainly appreciate that on a PE basis, they are nowhere near where they were back in 2000. But in lots of other ways of valuing companies, they're really very expensive. So a lot of good news has been priced in. And we're in an environment where global interest rates are ramping higher. So liquidity conditions are beginning to ebb. Now, of course, Tesla has also rallied very impressively. It is quite overbought in the short term. And I think even in a benign environment, the potential for it to come back down and test the region of the 200-day moving average would have to be the base case. Ford has taken a $9 billion loan from the US government, so that's really quite significant funding for the company to go off and build electric batteries for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of new EVs that they plan to manufacture. Quite whether they're going to be able to convince their clientele to give up pickup trucks and buy EVs. Or an EV pickup truck remains very much to be seen, particularly for those people in the countryside who actually use their pickup truck as a workhorse. But the share has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It is still holding on to that move. So we're certainly seeing more shares that are doing better. But at the same time, monetary and fiscal. Well, at least monetary conditions are tightening. Fiscal conditions are no longer as accommodative as they were, but the USA is still running a phenomenally large deficit. But with high valuations on the tech sector, I think that we have to just pay attention to that fact that these valuations aren't going to be sustainable without a really significant increase in earnings potential. Now, Bitcoin prices, having surged yesterday, were in positive territory in here today. So I think this is now hovering around the 30,000 level, and I think traders are waiting now for the decision on an ETF, because this is speculation about an ETF. If, of course, if ETFs arrive and start accumulating assets. It's going to withdraw supply from the market, and that would be very beneficial. And then Ethereum, which has been ranging below the 2000 level, is moving up towards it, but it's a little overbought in the short term. Obviously, if there's an ETF for Bitcoin, there will eventually also be an ETF for Ethereum, but I think we can't put the cart before the horse just yet. Now, gold prices have been quite volatile and down $18 in here today. So this is a new reaction low. It is now breaking downwards from this range. It's been threatening to do that for the last week and coming back down into the region of the 200-day moving average. With gold pulling back like this, then it does beg the question, what are investors thinking? Well, with technology still doing well, with the dollar a little bit firmer, and with bond yields still high, then investors might be starting to come around to the conclusion that maybe the Fed is serious and that they are going to try and get inflation down. And this willingness to push interest rates up into positive real levels. Excuse me, I need to clear my throat. So if they are willing to push rates up into positive real rates, then that is something that should justifiably be a headwind for gold. But of course, the next point is that how long can that be sustained for? And if growth does roll over, then interest rates will have to come back down. And they may come down in a hurry. And just like we're seeing now with the UK, where the central bank is panicking, I think that is what we've definitely seen with central banks is that they tend to overshoot. And we're kind of at that point now where the potential for an overshoot is looking more likely than not. And I guess with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.